Hello and welcome to The Undermined, a podcast about brute war AI development. My name is Shonko, your host from makingcomputerdothings.com. Let us begin. Hello and welcome to The Undermined podcast again. My guests today are Jean Chassul, I hope I pronounced that correctly. He is from Costa Rica, which is a nice surprise. And I will be calling him after his nickname Slot. And because my other guest is Johan, the author of Banana Brain, and Jean and Johan sounds a little bit similar. And also Slot is my absolute favorite animal, so it is a good occasion to do that. Hello to you both. Johan, welcome back to the podcast, and Slot, welcome for the first time.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I think that was the most elaborate introduction I ever did. And with that, I'd like you, Slot, to do a likewise elaborate introduction. And please just say a few words about who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Jean Chassul, like you introduced. Thank you for that elaborate introduction. I'm from Costa Rica. I have some time now tinkering about artificial intelligence with StarCraft, using the game of Brood War as a testbed for our endeavors or research. I am a developer with 10 years of experience, mainly with Python, Lua, and in the recent years I've been doing a little bit of research with Erlang and within the Erlang ecosystem. Yeah, that's about it. I just been concluding the research for the research side of things for the bot, and now hopefully I'm entering our team is entering now a more engineering phase with the project, and of course our goal is compete with you all and join the arena and keep iterating and improve our work with all of you.
What is the Space Beam project? I know there is a presentation about it, but would you mind saying a few words about that?
Sure. It's basically a distributed open source community that builds on its works and works around three main components or main areas. The research on AI, which we use the StarCraft as our testbed, distributed systems, and for that we use the Erlang ecosystem and the Erlang virtual machine, and high performance computing. And for that, we select the Singularity technology for Linux containers instead of Docker, because that technology in particular is not only compatible with Docker containers, but is getting out of the HPC space, like the supercomputers labs where they have like the supercomputers, and those sort of buildings or computers, you know, is the ones that have like the clusters not only of CPUs but also of GPUs. And what this technology enables is the use of the containers, but in a way that you can exploit them or have access to the GPUs.
Sounds really exciting. Out of curiosity, do you work with TPUs, tensor processing units?
No, to be honest with you, I'm just focusing on the GPU and on the CUDA ecosystem.
We actually discussed the possibilities of that being used for AI research a few casts ago, and I hoped maybe you have some insights, but I'm absolutely clueless about that infrastructure. I just like to act smart and ask smart-sounding questions about it. And Banana Brain, the bot, has received some updates lately. And Johan, would you mind saying a few words about that? It's been some time since you've been last on the podcast, so I hope you have a lot to tell us.
Yes, indeed. There were a lot of upgrades, of a lot of new features. And, well, the reason that the upgrades seem to have stopped some time is because I was building a quite complex feature, and that was the a feature for the Protoss versus Zerg matchup, and specifically the Forge Fast Expand openings.
Were there any technical challenges with that, or any interesting programming tidbits you can share?
Yeah, the most interesting challenge of that was the building placement. For that opening, you need to place a pylon, a gateway, and a forge in such a way to block a choke point. Well, you should not completely block it, because dragoons must be able to move through, but you should block it as much as possible.
Do you use BWEM or BWEB, actually? The library by MacRave. Yeah, that's BWEB that helps you place buildings.
I most definitely looked at the MacRave's project, the Brute War Easy Building, I think it's named, BWEB.
Yes.
Indeed. And I wanted to do it in a slightly different way. And the way I do it, it calculates all the gaps between the units and uses this to determine where it can place probes or zealots to completely close the gap if it's needed.
You are saying units, but do you refer to buildings or every unit?
In this case, I mean either probes or zealot, just to block it. So units in this means movable units.
Yeah, because I remember that dragoons are a weird case because they have different sizes in different stages of animation. Did you have to deal with that?
Well, at this moment, I have seen no evidence of that. As far as I know, a dragoon always fits in a 32 by 32 space. So if there is actually 32 pixels of space between two buildings or the terrain and the building, then it will fit through without any problems.
I'm fairly certain I read about that this was the main cause of the weird dragoon movement, because the units changed size and it messed up with the pathfinding. And when StarCraft originally came out, everyone was angry at Dragoon Pathfinding. I don't know if that was improved in later versions of Brood War, but I definitely remember losing a few matches because my Dragoons just got stuck.
Yes, I also sometimes still have problems with Dragoons getting stuck. But I think that's a completely different bug that we still have to live with in our StarCraft version, since we cannot use remastered yet.
Oh yeah, more on that later.
Yeah, no, just mentioned in that I think that the boom micro movement is the same on the remasters, right? Or I'm not aware, right, if there is like a change or an improvement on that client, because yeah, is they have a very crazy AI, to say the least, those moves.
Yeah, well, talking about two different things here. One of them is the weird pathfinding of dragoons, and the other one is dragoons getting completely stuck. And stuck means they don't move at all.
I was referring to the pathfinding issue, and as I mentioned, I read somewhere that stems from the changing size thing. That being said, not stuck, just like going backwards and generally not doing what I want them to.
Yeah, like don't finding the right path.
Yes, and I think all land units use the same kind of pathfinding. Just this fact about the dragons messes that up. But I'm not sure about that. I don't know the inner workings of Broodware that well. And regarding the remastered client, I believe that's mainly a cosmetic and user experience touch-up, meaning that you have better handling of hotkeys and stuff, and new textures. And another thing I think they promised is to have the old problem with Brood War that you can't give keyboard and mouse commands at the same time removed from it. And that's a subtle thing, but you can definitely notice it if you pay attention. And mostly in human play, that's the cause of the dropped commands in Brood War. And many players have trained just to give every comment twice, just because of this.
That must be a huge effort, I think, if you have to do that for each comment.
Probably. I mean, probably not after a while, you just get used to it. Just double or triple click every time.
Are you guys aware about the tricks that common humans do in tournaments with the thanks to the size of the units that affect like the pathfinding? I mean, like humans usually can put like structures and in a way that for example, a zealot can get to the marine, and that is enabled just from my understanding that sort of behavior with the engine is thanks to the weird sides that the units have.
I'm aware. I'm not aware of any bot making zealot-proof but not marine-proof walls. I seem to recall something that something like that definitely happening, but I don't know if it was intentional. So that being said, Slot, do you have a bot yet on the SSCIT ladder, or is it in the works?
Is it in the works? In our presentation, we give a little show with a bot that it was basically very simple. It was basically a link rush, a pull bot. Since then, we have been able to improve a little bit on it. Right now, what it does is an overpull, and after overpull, he expands at the 13, and that's basically that's it. And what we are working now is on scouting, trying to send the proof and manage the overlord in a way that makes sense. And that's our current state of affairs with the bot. So it's not compatible, and it's not ready yet for any type of competition. But the most problem that we are like pointing it out in a way is the issue that, or the impossibility to run the bot when it's ready on the current tournaments or ladders.
Is that bot written in Python then?
We have been prototyping both with Python and with Lua, since that's the front-end API that the Project Torchcraft gives. In the latest version, 1.4, they moved to full Python support, and on previous releases in the 1.3, they have a Lua JIT support and Lua support. So we have been prototyping with both of them. Both work really nice, but we choose to stay with the old version 1.3 because we are exploiting the speed that Luajit have. Actually, we don't think that Python have a big of an issue in the speed we're talking about speed. I think that he's quick enough to probably make a competitive bot. And actually, the PyTorch guys move to Python in the latest for PyTorch for Torch for it's not PyTorch it's Torchcraft. I'm sorry. And in the latest, but we are good with the old version. The problem that have is that in the BW API side of things, we are bound to the 4.1.12, I guess. And if you might want to use Python or if a boat developer plan to use this good project by the Python and by the Facebook guys with Python, that is on the BW API 4.20, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to see that we have more languages supported in any case. I hope that the current version will be supported for that. And I think it's just a matter of time. It is really good to hear about that. I must admit, I didn't have to time to watch your presentation, but it's on my log. But unfortunately, didn't get the chance to do it before the cast.
No, don't worry. Actually, I think that there is groppers from some time for BW API. So actually, I think that there is like a lot of languages. I think that C# is one of them. And there are probably like bindings for old versions of BW API. But personally, I think that the issue is not that the issue is not have access to BW API to making bots. The issue is when you have a working bot or a prototype of your thing, if you develop using all these languages in a Unix environment, then you have like all this additional and extra complexity. Because at the end of the day, you need to generate a Windows binary to make the upload to your competition of choose. Because you know the that's how the current state of affairs are with the Java management tournament that has been working great. It's just that is built for Windows-based projects, and I know it of course makes sense since it's a bootware game. It's just that since the time has passed, now we have the multi-core, now we have GPU support, now we have deep learning and all these techniques that if you really want to make able to use on a bot, you need to have an environment that is compatible in a way. So it's not a problem of have access to BW API and being able to code a bot. I think there is like a additional complexity for non-Windows coders. For at the end of the day, there not all the languages, for example, are like Lua that are great for embedding systems and embedding the whole libraries and the whole your whole world in whatever language you are in a Windows binary.
I think it's a reasonable request to want this kind of support. And the more easy is to begin to work on your bot itself, not just basically building the support infrastructure, then the more people will get interested in that. And this little bit reminds me when I started to look into some enterprise software, and even just to try it out, you need to set up 12 other R-related libraries and systems, and I just lost the will to even look at it.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, I don't. I develop under Windows, and as you said, it makes sense to start with that. Hope the day will come for that.
Yeah, I'm not like trying to fight against the Windows environment or the Windows, but no, I hope we can have someday an environment that is approachable for all sort of bots, for a Java bot, for a C++ bot, for a Lisp bot, you know, some for whatever tool a developer might want to choose. I hope that in a future they can like do it, like a start any type of common pro like application and just do it, you know, like be have like have a more inclusive type of competition. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there is like an inclusion problem, because for strange reasons you are like banding technology, you know, people or even Linux. But no, I'm not saying that. I'm not trashing like the Java manager software. No, I think really is I've been looking at it. The documentation is supreme. Like the code, I think is for a Java. I'm not nothing about Java, but I think it's a very nice code base. So I'm not trashing the current Java state of affairs manager.
I don't think anyone thought such. So.
I just hope that we can compete at the same level with which whatever language or technology you choose to build the thing.
And it's actually an interesting point for you to bring up, because as you might have heard, we are working on the man versus machine ladder, nickname Bladder, terrible, terrible nickname. And I need to consider this kind of stuff. And we will start from the same base as SSCIT, and we'll support the same kind of bots, but I intend to evolve that over time.
Yeah, actually, I'm very hyped about your project, and I think it makes sense to develop in the way that you are doing it, because the critical mass of StarCraft remaster clients are playing, of course, on Windows. And as you have been describing in all your podcasts, the Bladder project is for a human versus bot competition. And of course, the humans are on Windows 10 playing the remaster client. And I think it makes sense, you know?
Yeah, but on the other end, it can run in any kind of environment. I mean, you just need to wire together two StarCraft instances somehow. And this is a question to you both, as both authors, that what do you think, how can we make this easier for both authors, or more attractive to both authors? What would you like to see supported? Maybe that's a vague question, but I'd like you to think about that a little.
To be honest with you, I like very much the community of Brute War AI development. I think it's small, but it's not quite small at all at the same time. It have people from all around the world with different skills I think it's really great. I think it's an inclusive community that is helpful for newcomers. I've been learning a lot from the questions on Discord and interacting with all of you, all developers. It has been really like a welcoming experience. I don't really have like nothing wrong to point out with the community as as an endeavor, as a niche, as a group, I don't know what to call it. Maybe a little more of documentation in some projects, but that's kind of just for say something, because for example, I've been like studying the BW, the headless project that Tissimo built. And first I bitch a little bit that there was no documentation, but when I start to study the code of the StarCraft Docker that use it as a base, in the repo that the Basil developer in his fork of the BW Docker, he have a link of the line on the Tissimus documentation where there is like basically all that you need to know to run the project. Like, it's not that the documentation could be a little bit better, you know, it could be like in the README file, but it's there, you know, it's hidden on the source code, but we are developers after all, and it's there, you know, so it's just to say something about it. But I think it's a great community, and it continues grows with the success that the remaster have to Broodware and to Broodware in general. I think if we compare the StarCraft or the StarCraft scene, I think the more strong one is it of the Brood one, the Broodware one, just because of the game is stable from since years. We don't hear people saying that they need to build I don't know how much of money it costs on neural network just to improve or to balance the AI of the game on some point in the future, like in the StarCraft 2 case. Here the game is like chess. This is like the digital chess. And in my personal opinion, we can have like StarCraft 4 in the future, but people are going to still play in Broodware. So I think it's different.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit going on a tangent from the original question, but I can't help but agree. Johan, what's your opinion about the original question?
What I would like to see in such a ladder or playing my bot versus humans is good to get feedback on how your bot plays, because my bot still has a lot of room for improvement. And some time ago, Antiga played versus my bot and gave me some comments about things I can improve. And that would be very interesting for me.
What are the metrics you would like to see, or is it a more general feedback from humans?
Well, I don't really have metrics, but no, just get feedback.
I wonder how we can do that. I don't want to let's assume this gets reasonably popular and you get a flood of users. I don't want to have like a review page for bots or anything like that, because if the barrier of entry or for commenting on a bot is low, then you can imagine the quality of comments we will get.
Yes, I understand. Maybe some moderation is possible in some way, or maybe we can have a forum for that.
Yeah, maybe that's a little bit better, but I fear that at the risk of antagonizing my audience, you have to be careful about the average gamer when asking for opinions. And I mean this in a, I really don't want to hurt anyone's feelings with this, but just look at any Steam review page or gaming forum and you will see what I mean. And I really would like to keep out any kind of toxicity from this community.
Okay. Another way to reach this might be that the replays of the bot versus human matches are easily accessible to the bot authors so they can look at that?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing that needs to be done. And since the bot authors work a lot on their bots, then I would like to extend every courtesy to them I can. So that's that will be definitely a thing. You can get your replays, and we want to collect a lot of replays in any case. I think there is projects or at least plans to do replay analyzers for bots. Do you know any such project? I know we talked about that, but I don't know if anyone's actively doing that.
I think they are open source projects that do analyze replays. The most famous that come to mind was like the BW chart project. And I don't remember the name, but I think in the past, like this week, one of the like one project that analyze replays and also give you like the pathfinding just release.
Yeah, could be. And yeah, I tend to agree with you on the community. It's a supportive and passionate community for the most part. And I like how it was characterized in the Pylon show. And keep in mind, this is entirely out of context, so that it's funny. I think the caster, it was in control, characterized this as experts who just won't go away. And please watch the show, because obviously that sounds very wrong, but it's still funny.
Oh yeah, I watched that episode. It was very nice.
And with that, speaking of the community, Jealous player started streaming man versus machine matches, and we are thankful for that. And he described this community as also supportive and passionate. I actually just repeated his words here. And I think that's a very good feedback. So now that we pat ourselves in the back, let's move on to the next topic, which is the AITT tournament. I noticed that there are not many participants this year. What are your thoughts on that? Johan, did you plan to participate?
Well, I seriously thought about it, but then I decided I simply do not have the time to make another bot. And it's also a completely different way of programming. You have to really minimize the size of your code, which I've never done before. So I also had to invest some time in learning that. So I think it's a pity, but I could not participate. I simply did not have the time. Because it was very interesting maps this time, the island maps. It's very different, but that also makes it more difficult, I think.
I think it's a very good competition, but since it's not allowed to enter Java solutions, I refrained from participating. But it's an interesting programming challenge, and the fact that not many people entered this year should not discourage anyone, because yeah, shit happens, and I'd like to see this being maintained. That being said, it is admittedly started out as a joke. Regarding previous point, I know that I bring up some topics repeatedly on this podcast, and maybe repeat some information, and that's on purpose. I'd like to, for the average listener, to have to enjoy the podcast no matter which episode he or she is listening to. Kind of podcast idempotency, if you want to use computer science jargon here. Or is that a good sciencey word for this? I don't know. No, it's definitely wrong. Okay.
I don't have a better word.
Yeah, so that's the reason, because someone brought up that point. I actually repeated some questions, and I don't like to do that, but topics are repeated on purpose. You have to know that. All right. Next topic is hardware constraints. I just noted that down. It has been brought up that tournaments are running on different kind of hardware and the problems that could cause. I mean, do you think it's actually an issue? First of all, you are probably not developing on the exact same hardware as the tournament runs on, so you can't effectively benchmark that. What do you think?
Well, one of the difficult things about this is there are, during tournaments, there are time limits, maximum number of milliseconds per frame, and you can test it on your own machine. But if you have a very beefy machine at home and the machine at the tournament is slower, then you might go over the limit without knowing that. And that's one of the difficult things there. Well, I personally don't have that problem currently because apparently my machine is somewhat underpowered, but that might be a problem.
Yes, I think that is a good observation to talk about the hardware of the tournaments, because from the perspective of the design of an AI system, you might design to try to exploit the parallelism on the multicore or the GPUs, but at the end of the day, if you plan to compete, you are constrained to the hardware that the tournament is running. And from my observations, currently almost all competitions run with one single core and 1 gigabyte of RAM. So that fact limits you to constrains your algorithms and your setting, your whole system. How to fix this or what to do about it? I think it's a very difficult problem. It requires the coordination among people, among different board authors, and among the tournament organizers. My personal idea or opinion was use the minimum base requirements that Blizzard gives for the current or the last release of the Brood War client, which is the remasters. And it's just an idea to throw something to this issue, because at least with that, we might have know which the baseline is in hardware and actually have like not only like space to run the eventually new remaster client or the continue use the current client, but actually like more like a little upgrade on the hardware side of things for us to exploit.
The only issue could be here that some bots use a GPU and not everybody can run that on his own computer, so I could not test versus those bots. So I would have no idea if I have a chance to win versus those.
Yeah, I think if you give overpowered hardware to tournaments, that first of all gives an edge to whoever has that kind of hardware. And second, it enables like poorly optimized code to perform, which is not necessarily a problem, and really bad code will be slow on any kind of hardware. On the other hand, if you undersize it, then you introduce an unnecessarily obstacle and another vector you have to take care of. And I think that's really unnecessary. Bot development is hard as it is, And there are a lot of factors you have to take care of, and this is not something that is fun and would bring any kind of extra enjoyment to this. And I tend to agree with Slot here that we should aim for the average or the base specifications Blizzard has gave for the client. GPU support is another thing. You can argue that's another edge, but on the other hand, it enables a class of bots which are not possible without it. Maybe that should be its own league after a while, but so far I only know about exactly one bot who has who exploits GPU resources.
I believe that's Cherry Pie.
Indeed. And we haven't heard much of Cherry Pie lately, unfortunately, but I hope that changes.
Maybe they will be back at the next big tournament, like AIID.
Speaking of StarCraft Remastered, point that has brought up a lot of times is we really want to have remastered support. Thing is, it's a little bit out of our hands at this point, and there are vague promises, but nothing concrete and no time frame. I'm cautiously optimistic about that, but there are some people who have been talking about how can you circumvent that, and do you think that's something we should pursue, or could that be a worthwhile thing to do, like have some kind of guerrilla support for Remastered?
I'm not sure how you intend to do that. Use bots without Blizzard support.
I'm not sure either. I definitely don't have the technical ability to do that. But like, hack together a client that supports remastered features, and you can develop bots for it.
Well, maybe we. Someone could do something similar to the current Brutevar API, which is indeed a hack. But I think that because Remastered still gets updates, if you have some hard-coded addresses, it might break during every upgrade. And nobody would like to maintain that, probably.
Hopefully that will not be necessary. I even hear that the Facebook team have some member of the community working full time in the new Build API, and hopefully I'm not wrong with this, but one of the goals of that Build API 5, I think, was the support for the remasters, but I don't know if Blizzard have been like helpful or not. Hopefully they do. They see the interest and all the noise and the smoke that the community is making.
Yeah, it's a Nightcat, and I don't know if he's working on it full time, but he is working on it. And that's a great point you brought up, that there are just patching and such issues, and also I don't think Blizzard would like us to do that.
That's not a problem, indeed.
Actually, with the members of Machine Ladder, this is something we just postponed for the moment. This will be a bridge that we cross when we come to it. I really don't know what we will do when that becomes a possibility, or rather, how can we do that? But since I can't can't work on speculations, and we will just do it with the 1.16 client for the moment.
Yes, that's all we got.
I don't think it's such a dire situation, to be honest.
Not at all.
Okay, back to bot development. I have a few questions. We've been talking about on the Discord about some unexplored functionalities, and I'd like to hear your opinions or plans about things that might give you an edge, but simply not worth developing it. Do you have some kind of some things on your backlog that fits this description?
Well, my plan is to stay with the human meta and try to exploit the same tricks or the same mechanisms that humans exploit within the current meta, but trying to bring that a little bit, all that I can, to the botland. That's kind of my what I have on the paper, like on the backlog.
And let me interject a little here. I have some opinions in this. I think that's the wrong way to pursue this. And following human meta is basically playing a different game. Bot versus bot games are played differently, and the bot meta is definitely evolving in a different way, at least how I see this. It's basically if you want to, what was the analogy Henry Ford used? I think he said, if I asked the people what they wanted, they would have said they want faster horses. We don't have faster horses, we don't have better humans, we want something that goes faster than horses. I know it's a forced analogy, but I hope you understand what I mean by that. Not to disrespect your ambitions, of course.
No, nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong. I just think that I agree with you, but in not completely, because, for example, I've been hearing your arguments about it here on the podcast. For example, the way that the bots running the tournaments or are coded with one single core is not like real time. It's more like a turn based game between machines. I've been hearing all like that you use that argument, but that's one of my points actually with the hardware improvement, because as soon as you have two cores, you enable parallelism, you enable concurrency, you enable the bot authors to really try to exploit the concurrency within the or computings in the game of StarCraft, and of course this is a game that was originally run in crappy old machines that of course had just one single core and at least like 32 megabytes of RAM. But the analogy here is not within the game of StarCraft, is within ourselves, the humans that play the game, and our wetware in our head is at some certain degree we can claim that runs in parallel, that is not a single thread of execution. So that's quite my argument. I don't know, but I agree with you, and since the perspective of how of the current state of affairs, or how current bots are run, on even how the tournament runs, like again bringing back the single core 1 gigabyte current state of affairs case again.
I remember that StarCraft was not really hardware intensive even in the time when it came out. I mean it ran pretty well on your average PC in 1998.
Yes, I agree with that. Even in that time we call it like a game that can be run in cafes, like in the old shoe boxes here in Costa Rica. Yes. And it all sort of crappy machines were running, and we were playing on it. And yeah, even that, we were surprised at how good it was running on all that old hardware. Yeah, my analogy is not, it's like, it's more like in the bots, the capability of these bot systems. Hopefully, they could have, like, in future bots, like some parallelism, some concurrency. That's actually why we choose Ireland to build or some part of our stuff on. And it's ridiculous for me to try to run Ireland on an environment that only have one core, because I know for sure I will have concurrency just because how good the virtual machine is and how good the Ireland system is. But I'm not really exploited in that case, like more than one core. So it makes no sense to use that tool then.
I have one last question for the both of you. Is there any other game AI that you work on or you're interested in? If you had infinite time, is there a game AI you would like to work on?
I guess we love Broodware so much. But the Diablo project that one of the community members say or talk in recent podcast seems very interesting. If I have the time, I would love to work on Diablo AI. More of on that version, which is like the Diablo one, if I recall it correctly, which is the Diablo that I love. But yeah, Broodware takes like the heart, I guess.
For me, Broodware also comes from the first place. I think that Diablo is also very interesting. So in the case I would have infinite time, then I would most likely spend some time on that as well. But because Broodware is the first place, I would probably first change my bots so it would be able to play the other races as well, not just Protoss.
I imagine you having a Brood War for Life tattoo on your chest. For me personally, from a technical perspective, I would like to explore how to exploit MMO games, but I definitely won't be doing that because of ethical reasons. For example, EVE Online is just a thing that is begging to be exploited, and there are a lot of bots in it, as far as I know. I really don't have any real information about that, just gossip, so take this with a grain of salt. But yeah, that's a good candidate, but I won't do it.
You can make a business selling bots for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think business is the good term here, as it's not on the legal side of things.
yeah, it was more like a joke. Yeah. I have a question about the time, the speed that is run like on tournaments, because to be honest with you, I don't understand the issue at all. I noticing that has been brought in the Discord channel, like, I don't understand, to be honest, why tournaments are run on normal. From what I learned, you call that like L3 or something like that, and fastest speed is like L6. Coming from a gamer perspective, and since we usually play at the fastest as we can, not to slow the game at all, I don't really understand why bots don't. So I was hoping that you explain that like a little bit, like why on tournaments we choose normal. I know, for example, that bots have on fastest like the 24 frame and 42 milliseconds boundary on I think that's fastest, but that's the only thing that I know.
I have no reaction to that.
Well, I do. It has to do with that for the different speeds, normal and fastest, they have different latency settings. And this 3 and 6 are the amount of frames it takes for a command to actually get executed. So between the time you give the command and actually execute it. And because this latency and speed are tied in a, yeah, just tied to each other, the StarCraft has to be set to a normal speed to get three latency frames. But after you set it to normal speed, you can still increase the actual speed of the game. So when a tournament runs a game without anyone watching, when it's run headless, then it will still run as fast as possible. But the normal speed setting will ensure that the number of latency frames still is three. But it has no effect on the actual speed of the bot game.
Oh, now I understand why you might prefer than normal, since then you don't skip too much frames. And of course, you can the ability to run the game at other speed. And not, it's not like in the human side of things playing the game, when you, like that modifications alters the speed of the game itself. It's not the case then in Botland. Oh, that's good to know. Thank you.
Well, I do have a question, because I'm looking at the rankings of the Basel ladder now, and when I'm thinking, is it just me, or are the Zerg bots making a comeback? Because some time ago, it was said that most of the top bots were either Terran or Protoss, but it seems like they're catching up.
I'd be glad if that were the case, as a lifelong Zerg supporter.
If you choose another race to start with another brain, like, or to support another race, well, will you choose?
I think I would choose Terran, and there are a few different reasons why I would do that. First reason is, well, earlier Protoss was my favorite race, but now I tend more in the direction of Terran. Also, Terran is easier to support if you already have Protoss, because the economy of Terran works more similar to that of Protoss. For the Zerg, it works completely differently. And also, I am planning on implementing a specific strategy. It's called the Royal Stove, and it's a variant of the normal stove, and it involves mind controlling an SCV, building a Terran base, building tanks, and then recalling those tanks into the enemy's base. I would like to implement that in my bot. And in order to do that, I already would need to implement a lot of Terran behavior in my bot. So probably Terran would be a good choice for the next race.
I saw a pro game when this happened, and it was glorious. And you can recall sieged tanks.
That's exactly what I want to do, yes.
Yeah, it was broken.
Now I remember one of the tricks that humans do. Have you have you tested with Banana Brain the mass recall trick that Protoss do, like to make a big recall, like not a normal one?
At this moment, Banana Brain does not support recall at all. It can make arbiters and it can also use stasis, but recall is still on the backlog.
The ever-growing backlog, you mean?
Yes, indeed, unfortunately.
Once you have like a bot with two races, you can start considering a 2v2. What do you think about other formats for bot competition other than on 1v1?
Well, my bot is not anytime soon going to support 2v2. I'm afraid, because I made it in such a way that it can only deal with 1v1, and it would need major modifications to support all the players. I just made everywhere in my code, I made assumptions that there is just one opponent and nothing else. But 2v2, I think it would be an interesting format. But if I would do that, then I would have to build a new bot from scratch, probably.
That's a whole other set of new problems.
Just a question, what other race do you choose if you will have in the future to develop Aptu versus Tubat?
Yeah, definitely Terran, and I will make a bot that only uses Firebats.
That's awesome.
The glorious Firebot. And I don't know, I was always a Zerg fan. I just can't imagine doing anything other, but it will be Terran because I don't like the Protoss.
What's wrong with the Protoss?
They are too yellow.
But yellow is awesome.
Do you think it's better color than purple?
That is a very difficult choice, but I would still choose yellow, I think.
That was a trap question.
I see what you did there.
And will there be a Dan joke now?
Nah. Now, for this cast, it will be just an indirect one. But I must say, purple is my favorite color. I like it more than red and blue combined. And with that terrible joke, let's move on.
Nice.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me. Yes.